to start the week on the right foot, let's go through the Gemara carefully. Yeah, on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis. And we started with Lafuke, you may remember. And let's just review that our Mishnah establishes that even in the cases of Chayve Krisus, he still pays Knas. And that's against both Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh in the middle of Chav Tes Amid Beis. And both Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh are trying to understand what does the Torah mean in the parasha of Ones. It says V'lo Siya Le'isha. So I wrote the two sheetahs here on the board because since we're going to go back and forth over and over again, we might as well have them written on the board. It's very easy to get confused here. So Shimon HaTimni says V'lo Siya Le'isha Isha Sheyesh Ba Havaya. So it all depends on Tfisas Kiddushin. And Rav Shimon ben Menasseh says Isha Ruya L'Kaimo, it all depends upon when there's any Isa between them, even if there is Tfisas Kiddushin. But in the case of Chayve Krisus, everybody agrees that it's not V'lo Siya Le'isha Mimonavsha. If you're going to go with Shimon HaTimni, then there's no Tfisas Kiddushin in Chayve Krisus. So in the case of Baal Achoso, there's no Knas. It's not, she's not included in V'lo Siya Le'isha. And if we go with Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, who says that we need an Isha Ruya L'Kaima, then for sure his sister is not Ruya L'Kaima. And this is what leads us to the conclusion that our Mishnah, which establishes that even Baal Achoso pays Knas, is against both Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. Now the Gemara analyzes the machlokas between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. My Beinayu, Om Rav Zera, Mamzeres Unesino Ike Beinayu. Lamandi Omar, Yesh Bahavaya Honami, Yesh Bahavaya. Lamandi Omar, Ru'il Akaima, Ena Ru'il Akaima. So let's go through this. If we hold like Shimon HaTimni, then in the case of Baal al Mamzeres, here it's only Chayve Lavim, it's not Chayve Krisus, and therefore Yesh Tfisas Kiddushin B'Chayve Lavim. So a man is not allowed to marry his Mamzeres, if he's not a Mamzer, I mean, and yet the Kiddushin themselves are valid. So according to Reb Zera, this case of Mamzeres would be included under V'lo Siya Le'isha, hence there would be Knas. But according to Rav Shimon HaTimni, who says Ein Ruya L'Kaima, since he's not allowed to remain married with the Mamzeres, she's not included in Ruya L'Kaima, hence there would be no Knas. Now, at this point, oh John, you were able to make some copies?
Make some copies.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so we'll pass them around, and that would be excellent. So now, at this point in the sugya, the Gemara is going to make a little bit of a major detour, not just a small detour, introducing Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that even in the case of Chayve Lavim, there's no Tfisas Kiddushin and there's Mamzerus, even in Chayve Lavim. Now, if that be the case, then Luchora, we don't have enough Gemina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. Because even if we go with Shimon HaTimni of Isha Sheyesh Bar Havaya, in the case of Chayve Lavim, like Mamzeres, there's no Tfisas Kiddushin if we accept Rabbi Akiva. So let's just set the goal for our project today. Our goal is to find a case which is an Isur, which means Ein Ruya L'Kaima, but yet there would be Tfisas Kiddushin according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says that even Chayve Lavin, there's no Tfisas Kiddushin. So at this point, the Gemara wants to come up with something that's less than Chayve Lavin. Now, the Gemara starts with Almana L'Kohen Gadol. Ika Beinayu, less of a severe Isur, meaning on the pyramid of Isurim, we have Chayve Misa, we have Chayve Krisus, we have Chayve Lavin, something below Chayve Lavin, like Chayve Ese. We're going to talk about Mitzri and Adomi, where the Torah actually never says you can't marry this woman. The Torah says you could only marry her after the fourth Dar, implying with an Ese that we're not allowed to marry her in the first three Doros. But first, the Gemara offers a possibility of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, And the Almana L'Kohen Gadol is based on a separate drasha. In the parasha of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, the Torah says, "V'lo yechalel zaro bi'amav," that if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, then he's machal his zera. And the Gemara has a drasha. This is the famous drasha of Rav Simoy, which you'll see here on the bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis, that chiluin hu osev v'eino osem amzerim. So it means that according to Rav Simoy, even Rabbi Akiva would agree in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, there is tefisus kedushin, there's no mamzerus. Hence, we have a great nafkamina between Rav Shimon ben Asya and Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni would say that she would get knas in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol because yesh ba havaya. According to Rav Shimon ben Asya, on the other hand, you need an isha ruya l'kaima. She's not a ruya l'kaima. The Gemara says that that works out very well according to Rav Simoy, but not according to Rav Yeshevev. Rav Yeshevev, and this you'll see on the bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis, he writes, Bo v'nitzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef shoya omer shekol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael havlad mamzer. Meaning that Rav Yeshevev understood that according to Rav Akiva, even in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, the vlad is a mamzer. And if that be the case, then even according to Shimon HaTimni, who operates with Yesh Bahavai or Ein Bahavai, here's a woman that Ein Bahavai, because if the child is a mamzer, that's because Ein Bahavai. So now the Gemara goes on.
You have to come on to Lo Yichal. It's a Mufarsh Esa.
But here it's a Lav. Here the Torah says, Almona, etc., etc., Lo Yikach. So therefore, if a Kohen marries an Almona, he gets malchus for that. He violates a law. So that for sure would be ein kedushin tosim havlad mamzer, if not for this separate drasha.
The Jewish of Lo Yechal was getting malchus.
From the Jewish of Lo Yechal, no, I'm saying like this. From the Poshim Shat in the Poshim, he gets malchus if the Kohen Gadol marries an Almon. The drush is going to tell me that although the child of such a marriage would be a cholol, but he's not a mamzer. Therefore, there would be tefisus kedushin. Hence, according to Shimon HaTimni, who says yesh b'havaya, there would be havaya in the case of an almona l'kohen gadol. So it means that this is an exception to the rule of chayvei lavin, based on the fact that the Torah says lo yichalel chiluin u'osav v'yein osam amzerim. However, Rav Yeshevev never accepted this drasha, this mute, and therefore he assumes that according to Rabbi Akiva, even in the case of Almona L'Kohen Gadol, the vlad is a mamzer. And then we're stuck back with the question, my beinayu, and now we turn to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. So the Gemara tries to go below Chayvei Lavim, below, if you follow on what I call the hierarchy, the pyramid of Chumras Havera, and there's something that's even less than Chayvei Lavim, that's called Chayvei Esed. And that fits into the parasha of Mitzri Ve'Adomi. Yeah, so the Torah says, Lo Sesayev Adomi Ki Achichohu, Lo Sesayev Mitzri Ki Gera Yisa Be'Artso, Bonim Asha Yivoldelem Dor Shlishi Yavolehem B'Kal Hashem. And from this we derive what's called a Lav HaBomachal essay, that if a man marries a mitzris, let's say, or if she marries a mitzri who's a ger, until we get to the fourth generation, that's a violation of an essay. And the Gemara thinks now at this point that perhaps even Rabbi Yeshevev, who had a very extreme a very chamurdik approach to Rabbi Akiva, and he says, "Shaya Rabbi Givom and Kol Shein Labia B'Yisrael Havlad Mam." So that's only in a case where there's a Chayvei Lavim situation, but not in the case of Chayvei Esei. Hence, in the case of Chayvei Esei, although she's Eina Ruya L'Kaima, that would fit into the criterion of Shimon of Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, but it wouldn't fit into Rav Shimon to Shimon HaTimni, because Shimon HaTimni says Isha Sheish Ba'avaya, there is Havaya in Chayvei Esei. Now the Gemara rejects that as well. Even in the case of Mitzri Vadomi, Rabbi Akiva would say the Vlad is a Mamzer V'ein Ba'avaya, and that depends upon how you understand Rav Yeshevev. If Rav Yeshevev was coming to exclude Rav Simoy, he was only arguing about the case of Almana Lekohen Gadol and saying that Almana Lekohen Gadol, insofar as it's a lav, Rabbi Akiva would say generates mamzerus shapir. Then it makes sense that if we dip below chayve lava into the cases of mitzri and adomi, which is only chayve yaseh, that would be a great nafkemina between Shimon Atimni, who says ein ba'avaya, and Rav Shimon Menasi says isha ruil akaima, because then we could say that in chayve yaseh, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that yesh ba havaya elai taima de nafshei ka'omar. But if we take a look at the words of Rabbi Yeshevev in and of themselves, not as a counter argument to Rabbi Simai, but rather independent of Rabbi Simai, and we read the words kipshuto, straightforward, it says kol shein lo biyav yisrael avlad mamzer zafilu chai v'yesei. That means if a man marries a mitzvah sheni, a mitzvah sheniya, then the child is a mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva. That's the way Rabbi Yeshevev would understand it. So once again, we're back to my beinayu. And the Gemara answers, Zika beinayu, ba'ula l'kohen gadol. The case of ba'ula l'kohen gadol, which is also chayve esei, the Torah addresses the Kohen Gadol in Parashat Zemar, it says, ki im besula me'amov yikach isha, he has to marry a besula. If he marries a ba'ula, then he has violated this essay. And what would be Rabbi Akiva's position in terms of the vlad, or in terms of tfisas kiddushin? So the Gemara suggests that in this case of chayve essay, Rabbi Akiva would agree, even according to Rabbi Yeshevev, that the vlad is a kosher, not a mamzer, and there's no problem of tfisas kiddushin. Again, it's not ruya l'kaima according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, but it would certainly fit the requirements of Shimon HaTimni, namely isha sheyesh ba avaya. So Gemara says umayishna. We've already dipped below the chayve lavim to the lowest level, lowest echelon here of chayve esei of mitzvah vadomi. Why should ba'ula l'kohen gadol be any different? The havilei, the Gemara answers esei she'eino shava bakol. That everybody's included in mitzvah vadomi, but only one person is included in the iser ba'ula, and that's only a kohen gadol. That makes it into an iser kal. And therefore, it really dips to the bottom of the barrel. It's the lowest on the echelon of Isurim. And even Rabbi Akiva would agree in this case that the vlad is not a mamzer, and there is tfisas kiddushin. That's the sugya sagamara. That's, I think, a good way of starting the week. And we're going to spend a little time on that. On that Gemara that we just learned. So the first thing that I'd like you to turn to in the Mishkanos HaRoim is page Tav Ayin Vav, if you happen to have those pages. You think we have a copy of them? So that'd be good, because I want to study with you a few sfeikos of the Minchas Chinuch. And you'll see that on the bottom right of Tav Ayin Vav. The first suffix of the Minchas Chinuch is the following. What happens if at the time of the Ones, this woman would fit into the category of Einaru Yilakaima, or Lesbe Havaya, meaning according to the situation that exists at the moment of the Ones, there would be no Velosia Le'isha. But later, the situation changes. For example, Onas Achos Ishto, the Achach Mesa Ishto. So his wife died. At the time of the Ones, I call it like a Nefila Le'ones, if you follow me. Like in Yibum, we have Nefila Le'ibum, right? So at the moment of Nefila Le'ones, so to speak, that's just my phrase, if it confuses you, just drop it. At that moment, she was Einaru Yilakaima, and she was certainly Lesba Havaya, right? You don't find Tav Ayin Vav there. Okay.
That's okay.
All right.
Here,
take another copy from here, then.
Ah, thank you.
Okay, Tav Ayin Vav, all the way in the bottom right. You see it? So he says that certainly she would not fall into the category of Velosi Elisha as far as Knas is concerned. But now that his wife passed on, he could marry his sister, and he has a mitzvah v'losia l'isha. Does that mitzvah now get activated? Does it jump up? So he says, following me, name, or should we say the chayav b'esezu? No, I'm sorry. Should we say that the chiyuv esezu rak im nischayav b'shas bia? That everything depends upon the moment of bia. And then she was ena ru'uyelo, and certainly ena ru'uyelo kaima. And even less ve'avaya, because it was achos ishto. He's afal gavda hadar ichse. Now the situation is that she's reuya. She's included in the mitzvah of velosi elisha. Lo chala love chiyuv. You can't create a chiyuv subsequent to the bia. Oh, what should we say? Says the Michas Chinuch. The davar zeh toli bedin im yesh dichu yetzel mitzvahs. Which means the following: if let's say I have hadasim. And I enter into Sukkot with these hadassim. The hadassim are puzzle because there's too many berries on it. Right? Anovav merubim me'anofav. And then I remove the berries. Shall I say that now I could be machshir? Or do I say that when the mitzvah was chal, it was dochui, it was impossible, and therefore it doesn't become roy later on? Here too, the mitzvah at the time of the bia of velosi elisha was completely out of the question because she was achos ishto. But later on, although that there was an original dichui, we removed that dichui. It means that the reason why she was excluded is no longer there. And now we have the issue of dichui. Shall we say dichui? Now, there is a svara to say that if it's dichui meikara, then we don't apply the principle of dichui. What does that mean by dichui meikara? According to one opinion in the third parak of Masechtas Sukkah, we only apply the principle of dichui if something was roi and then it became dochui. But if it was dochui meikara from the get-go, from the first stage, then we don't apply dichui because it was never nifsal, it was never psul. Right. So he's saying if we go with that, then it's very possible that we only have an issue of dichui b'mitzvahs. In this case, it's dichui meikar. We would not apply the principle of dichui, and therefore the mitzvah would be chal. Or should we say, going back to the first tzad, that the essay depends upon, it's fixed in stone at the time of the bia. And if the time of the bia there was an isha shena ruya, or isha shelesbe avaya, in this case it's both, then we don't say that hadar ichze, that later on when his wife dies, now he has the mitzvah of velosi elisha, because the mitzvah of velosi elisha is determined, is fixed in stone at the moment of the bia. So let's talk for a moment about dichui b'mitzvahs. There's a landmark tshuva of the Shagas Aryeh, which you'll see here in the next paragraph on the left column. And this is almost a pre-Reb Chaim Brisker Chiddush. You know, the Turi Evin was probably a half a century before Reb Chaim, but here he already preempts Reb Chaim. And he says the following, that dichui b'mitzvahs only applies if the cheftz of the mitzvah was dochui, but if the gavra was dochui, then we don't apply the principle of dichui. Let's go through the two cases of the Turi Evin. Case number one is what's called dichui gavra. What's dichui gavra? When the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel was chal, the man was a chiger, and a chiger who cannot walk is potter from the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. Then nispashe, meaning his legs became more healthy, and now he could walk. This, says the Turi Evin, is not included under dichui. He'll be chayav and aliyah l'regel, have to bring his carbon, and the reason for that is because this is dichui begavra. So the gavra was not chayav, now he became chayav, meaning the siva hapoteris was removed, and he's back in the box, he's back in the chiyuv. When, now we get to the second case, do we apply dichui b'mitzvahs? That's only if the cheftza was dochui. For example, in the case I gave you before, in the hadas case, where there are anovav merubim me'olav, Or, for example, the shofar became a shofar shel avodah zara, and then he chipped off a piece and he was mevatel it. In such a case, we say dichui. Again, he's not going through all the details now of dichui mekara, dichui mekanal, you know, all the different scenarios. But he's saying that fundamentally the issue of dichui only applies when the cheftza became posel. If the cheftza became posel, then even if you remove the siba poseles, it still retains its status as a posel. That's called nidche. Hoel v'nidche nidche. So, for example, going into the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, this hadas was posel. Now you remove the sibas apsul, it remains posel. But if it's in the gavra, in other words, let's say in the case that we're dealing with now, of ones, so he has a mitzvah v'lo siya l'isha. Well, here the psul is in the gavra. I'm misleading you now because I want to lead up to the chiddush of the Turi Eved. But l'chora pashtus, your intuition would say here it's a psul in the gavra. The gavra cannot fulfill the mitzvah of marrying this anusa v'lo siya l'isha because he has an iser of achos ishta, right? Because at the time of the bia, she was the sister of his wife. So therefore, benidon didan, in our case, it's only dichui begavra, says the Turi Eved name. In our case, gama cheftza shal mitzvah dochui, even the cheftza is dochui. Who is the cheftza? It's very interesting. She is the cheftza, meaning his mitzvah is to marry her. And she's excluded at the time of the bia, because she's now an erev of achos ishto. So at this point, which I call hakofa aleph, the Turi Eved wants to suggest that insofar as she as the cheftza of the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha is dachui, then it's like the case of the anov of the adas or the shofar that is dachui b'mitzvah. Hence, even if you go with the Minchas Chinuch's second approach, that there's no issue in Shas Habiyah, the issue is that came in the Nidche Nidche, that would exclude her because at the time of the mitzvah, meaning when the mitzvah emerged of Velosi Elisha after the Bia, she was already Dochli, as a Cheftza, not as a Gavra. Now we're up to Hakofa Beis. Says the Turi Eved, but even in a case of dachui bechefta, dichui bechefta only applies with a mitzvah that requires one action, one single action. Like, for example, if you're talking about bringing a carbon of aliyah l'regel, so he has to bring the carbon, and once he brings the carbon, he fulfills the mitzvah. The mitzvah is focused on one moment of time when he fulfills that mitzvah, or matzah. Let's say the matzah was posel, and then it became kosher. So there's a mitzvah of achilas matzah.
Here it's over there.
But here we have an ongoing mitzvah. He calls it a chiyuv mitzvah nimshach. He gives the following example. What happens if a child was a minor at the time of Shkias Acham on Shabbos? So does he have the mitzvah of Shabbos or does he not? Are we going to say that since he was Dachui when we started Shabbos with the Emer, therefore he's Nidche? Says the Turi Eved, no. In this case, there's no Din of Dichui. Why? A beautiful lumdus of the Turi Eved. He says, because it's a mitzvah nimsheches, every second of Shabbos engenders a brand new mitzvah. And therefore you cannot connect the original moment of Ben HaShmashos with the next moment in time when he became a gadol, because that's a new mitzvah of Shabbos. Say no chinami. You could say that he's dochui in the original chiyuv as he entered into Shabbos, but now every mitzvah of Shabbos is mechadish betuva v'chol yom ma'aseh b'reishis. It's mechadish a new chiyuv of the mitzvah of Shabbos. And he says that in such a case of a mitzvah mitmasheches, we don't apply the principle of dachui, because dachui only means that he was excluded from this chiyuv. But if I have a new chiyuv, then and at this moment in time he's already a gadol. We celebrate his bar mitzvah on Shabbos morning. At that point, he's included in the mitzvah of Shabbos. That's not called dichui because it's a brand new chiyuv. Therefore, says the Turi Eved, in our case of a lo siya l'isha, it's not shaykh to talk about dichui, because the mitzvah of a lo siya l'isha is an ongoing mitzvah. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Because it's not just a mitzvah at one particular moment. Like, for example, let's say he marries her and then he divorces her. No. He's got to remarry her. Gifal, because every moment is Macharish a new mitzvah. It's a mitzvah nimsheches. And therefore he claims that the problem of Dichui, even if I grant you that the Cheft is Dachui, because this Isha is an Achos Ishto, and at the time of the Bia she's Nidches, so the Cheft is Nidches, but it's a Cheft is Nidches vis-a-vis a mitzvah nimsheches. And a mitzvah nimsheches means that there's a brand new mitzvah at every moment in time.
There's a big difference between the Kodesh and Shenazah Gadol. There's a new mitzvah. It's not the same mitzvah. When it becomes a gadol, it's a whole new inyan. Here, by the Isha, by the Yechoso, it's the same thing. It's just in Shechas. There's no difference between yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
That is true, but his question to Tri Evan is, would you agree that every minute he has that mitzvah that's chal upon him? It's not just that he marries her. You know, yeta matzah, that's it. You would carry the mitzvah. Now you wait another 365 days. Here, every single mitzvah is its own machayev, and he proves it to you. What happens if he marries her and then he divorces her? He would still have to remarry her. But matzah, you would never say such a thing.
It's the same mitzvah. Even if he divorces her and he remarries her, it's still the same mitzvah. It's not a new chiddush, a new mitzvah.
But again, the question is whether it's nimshach or not. If it's nimshach, then he. Then he has a moment here where there's no dichui, right? What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that the moment of bia, she was nidches. Yeah, but wait a minute. The chiyuv mitzvah is still chal on him. Yeah, we're waiting for the opportunity for him to be makayim that mitzvah when his nebuch, his wife dies, and then he has to marry her sister. Let me just read to you the language of the Tariyam. And he says lefi zeh. This is the last three lines on the paragraph yayin b'Tariyam. Gam benidon didan. In our case, lo shayach dichui, the mitzvahs velo seal isha he mitzvah tmidis shetia lo isha li isha kol yomav. And here he quotes in the footnote kufresh ayin bazeh os tafshin ayin beis. Okay, we didn't get to tafshin ayin beis yet, but that's in kink shemesa ishto hader chalal of chiyuv afal pishlo nira bitchila. Again, he's not denying the first possibility of the Minchas Chinuch, but he's saying in the second possibility of the Minchas Chinuch, namely Dichui, he maintains that that the principle of Dichui would not apply in this case.
He himself says it. One by this is Chal Lo Chiyuv Chodosh, and the last line it says Hoder Chal Lo Chiyuv.
Right.
He himself is making the difference to Rebbe.
And he's saying that since there's a new chiyuv that's chal on him once his wife dies, therefore we don't apply the principle of dichui, because now there's no reason to be docha the mitzvah. There's nothing that rejects the mitzvah.
You're lucky my partner in crime isn't here.
Yeah, okay. No, I'll tell you the truth. What I want to do is I want to see the whole picture. So, you know, I'm eager, you know, in this case, I ask Hatoyni Maske to see if we can get all the pieces of the puzzle. He now quotes a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says the following: Hayanosui es achosa kvar niftar. It means that if at the time of the ones he's married to her sister, he's potter from this mitzvah velosi elisha. And then the Yushalmi adds another piece: Mesa, even if his wife dies, kvar niftar, he's already potter. Hare, what do we see from this Yushalmi? The essay, Divalo Sia Leisha, Chala Rak Peshas Bia. We go back to the first side of the Minchas Chinuch. Vehecha Shebeshas Bia, Hoysa Chosa Nesualo, is therefore Su Lo Chal Chiv Olov, the Afli Acha Shemesa Ishta. And this he quotes in the name of the Afikeyah. So although the Minchas Chinuch apparently was unaware of this Yushalmi, and therefore he vacillated back and forth, the Yushalmi addresses this question head on. And the language of the Yushalmi is Harei Kvar Niftar. In other words, Shuvei Nechoze Elios Chayav, because at the time of the Nefila, at the time of the Ones, there was no mitzvah of Elosi Elisha. And this is a fantastic issue because, as we discussed before, you can have many situations in which a mitzvah was excluded at one particular moment in time, but later on, the situation changes, and now we can be mechayev him in that mitzvah. For example, we're talking about a katan who is not chayev in Shabbos at the beginning of Shabbos, at the commencement of Shabbos, but later on he became a gadol and he's chayav in Shabbos in the middle of that very Shabbos. We're not going to apply that in the case of a lo seal isha. Let's understand the underlying logic in the first side of the Minchas Chinuch, which seems to be supported by the Yerushalmi. The Afal Gav the mitzvahs for lo seal isha he mitzvah tmidis shechiva chiyuva nimshak kol yom. Mikol makom hasiba amachayeves hi abia. The kevin shebishas chovasa yepoter eino mischayev acher kach. In other words, the bia has to generate a chiyuv. If the bia in its moment cannot generate a chiyuv knas, then that's it. There's no chiyuv knas. Oh, now look at the contrast. Until now we were talking about Shabbos, but here we have a case of yibum. V'lo dami li yibum teheicha shahaisa erva b'shas misas baila einin ifteres min ayibum. So the Gemara is going to establish a brand new principle in Yibum that is Nesrol of Shalachas. Okay, but before we get to Nesrol of Shalachas, logically, what would have been the din in Yibum? If, let's say, that at the moment that the brother dies, right, and he leaves his almana to fall to Yibum, to his surviving brother, so in that case, even if she was an erva at the moment of Misa, which is the moment of the Siba Mechayeves, nevertheless, if she is no longer an erva, right, that relative that made it to erva passes on, then the mitzvah of Yibum would be Chal. The Gemara again, La Halacha doesn't accept that, because there's another halacha, another principle in Yibum, which is Nesrol of Shahachas. But again, if not for the principle of Nesrol of Shahachas, there would have been a mitzvah of Yibum now that the situation has changed. We're not going to say Kevin de Vishas Chovasa Yapatur, that everything depends upon the moment of Nefilu Yibum. Ah, the answer is Hosam Hasiba Machayeves Eno Shas HaMisa. Misa only sets up the mitzvah, but once the mitzvah is set up, meaning to be making shame li'ochiv ha'meis, it means that you, the yovam, have to marry this woman. Forget about the moment. We're not going to focus and concentrate on one particular moment in which the event of Misa took place. The Misa is only the background, the backdrop to the mitzvah. It's not what generates the chiyuv. What generates the chiyuv is the fact that lahakiv shame li'achiv ames, that he has an ongoing chiyuv this yavam to marry her and be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum. Mashenkin, in the case of ones, the maisa bia, the maisa ha-machayev, is the bia itself. And now you have to ask, if would that bia, would that particular woman be machayev? The answer is she's not included in Velosi Elisha. If she's not included in Velosi Elisha, she's not the woman that sets up the chiyuv that emanates from the bia. The bia is the machayev, the siva machayev. Mashenkin in Yibum, the marriage relationship is something that the Torah wants, that's called Yibum. And it doesn't matter what her status was at the Shas Bia. The Shas Misa. The Shas Misa is only what you... let me say it to you this way. The Erva relationship at the moment of Misa Sabal is only a Ma'akev. It means that the hands of the Yavam are tied. There's a barrier between him and his mitzvah to fulfill Yibum. If that barrier would be removed, then he's chayv in the midst of Yibum. Mash enkein here, it's not a matter of a barrier. It's not that the erva creates a barrier for him to fulfill his mitzvah velosi elisha. It means that she's not included in the velosi elisha. And the reason for that is only a bia with a woman whose ruya lekaima is a bia that is machayeves, that generates a chiyuv of velosi elisha. Adkan suffik number one of the Minchas Chinuch. Now we're going to fast forward to the second suffik of the Minchas Chinuch, and that you'll see on page Tav Ayin Zayin. Mitzvah. Feel good. Od mistapik. You see the last line in the right column on page Tav Ayin Zayin. Katan ben Tes. The boy is 9 years old. Sha'onas. Now, we have a principle called Bentes Roy Labia. Now, obviously he's not chayev in the mitzvah of Elosia Leisha because he's not chayev in any mitzvahs. But what's going to be l'sheyagdil? According to the Turi Evan, who says that there's no dichui b'mitzvah with regard to the mitzvah of Elosia Leisha because it's a mitzvah t'midas and every moment is machadish and uchidish, then this case should be similar to the Shabbos case, where if he was a katan at the moment of Shkiyas Hacham, the entry of Shabbos, he still becomes chayev later on, and we don't apply the principle of dichui. The same thing should apply with regard to Velosi Elisha. He was a katan at the time of the bia, so the Minchas Chinuch wants to say, Kevin Shah Mitzvi Tmidis, V'chiyuva Nimsha Kol Yomav, Havi Leik Katan Shehigdil B'Yamtza Shabbos. Bechayv lishmar Shabbos, bechol rega verega, rochiv aleichiv chadash. So let's go back to the Yerushalmi. If you remember, the Yerushalmi said that the Shas Bia sets up the Mechayev, and therefore if she was a Velosi Leisha kind of case, meaning she was an Achos Ishto, then it doesn't matter if his wife dies, he doesn't become Chayev in the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha, because he was potter at the time of the bia. Yeah, are we with it? Oh, so if that be the case, then why not extrapolate from this Yerushalmi by way of analogy that in the case of a katan b'shas bia, since the bia was not a bia mechayeves, therefore he's excluded from this mitzvah. And if he's excluded from the mitzvah, just like in the case where Achos Ishto and his wife dies later, he's not mechuyev according to Yerushalmi, so too this katan should not become chayev when he's mishayigdal. Well, lechora ain't lifshot hasofing in the Yerushalmi. He doesn't even bother making the analogy. He just rejects the analogy, and he says, "Why do I reject this analogy?" So I don't want to look at the next few lines. I want to try to see if I can figure this out myself. He's quoting Rebbe Chanan. I would say the following: everything depends upon the following question: what's the status of a katan as far as mitzvahs is concerned? Is he really chayev in the mitzvah, but the Torah says, you know what, we can't impose this chiyuv on him? Or is he completely excluded from the mitzvah? He's dachlu. You see, in the case of Achos Ishto, there, she doesn't fit the criteria in the description of Velosi Elisha. And therefore, she's absolutely out of the ballpark, out of the chiyuv of Velosi Elisha. Masheke Katan, I would say, is a different issue. Katan is a different issue because we cannot impose a chiyuv on him, he's too young, but the mitzvah is there. Inherently he should be chayiv in the mitzvah. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says in Bar Mitzvah that Raphram burnt someone's shtar when he was a katan. Now this shtar was a shtar milveh, and the Gemara says that's called garmi. Normally, Gerov in Ezekiel is potter, but this is Garmi. If I burn the mal the shtar, he has no recourse to collect his money. That's called Garmi. The shtar itself becomes like gufo mal. It's like a check. But the Hagos Ashri says that Raphram had to pay for this damage when he became a gadol. So imagine, he destroyed someone's property when he was a katan, and we're going to force him to pay when he's a gadol. I'll give you another example. A katan ben tes who has a beer with a shivcha charufa, is halacha is that there's a karbon shivcha charufa. Again, we can't force the katan to bring the karbon, but when he becomes a gadol, he'll bring a karbon. She'll have to bring a karbon. Well, maybe I don't know, shivcha may be part of the karbon, but she would have to bring the karbon even when he's a katan. But he will wait until will postpone it until he becomes a gadol. So we see basically that a katan is really shy after the chiyuv. And the Rambam goes very far. The Rambam seems to assume that if a katan lights Hanukkah candles, you could be yotzei with the Hanukkah candles because his hadlaka creates an er Hanukkah. Even though he's not a bar chiyuv in the strict sense, but the chiyuv is inherent. So therefore I would suggest the following, that if a katan would be ma'anes a woman, we cannot force him to pay the knas, but the ma'isa machayiv was there. The chiyuv is in a sense in suspended animation, you know, we it's mitla toli b'avir until such time as he becomes a gadol. That has nothing to do with a woman who's excluded from the Velosi Elisha. Let's see if he says it. L'chora ein lifshot sofik zeh mi divrei Hashem. Tibekaton sibas achir yeshna. There is a machayev. Rak befall eino mechuyv l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. Okay, that's where you have to end. It's not a din in the chiyuv ha-mitzvah, it's a din in the kiyuv ha-mitzvah. That the katan is excluded from the kiyuv ha-mitzvah, but he has the chiyuv ha-mitzvah. For example, he says, and the same thing applies to isurim. Afal pisha katan eino musa mikomakom masa isur ika. Right, so katan eats chazim. That's considered a maisa avera. Again, we cannot force him to punish him for that. But it's definitely a maisa, right? It's a maisa avera with a pter onshin. And therefore, as far as the maisa of onus is concerned, there is a maisa machayev. El Koton is a la bar kibuli azharahu. Okay, he says it in that way. We can't warn him, we can't admonish him, whatever it might be. I would say we can't punish him. The law meaning the lo choshiv klal maisa isur. It's not like the case of an isha who's excluded from knas because there's no velosiel isha. She has been excluded. And therefore, according to Yishalmi, we're not going to be able to say that after the bia is not, it doesn't generate knas. Later on, his wife dies, he has a chiv knas. There was no bia machayevus. In the case of Katan, there is a bia machayevus. So essentially, the maskana here regarding the minchas chinuch suffik is that we should equate the case of a katan bentes in ones to the case of a katan who enters into Shabbos and he became a gadol in the middle of Shabbos. And we're going to say that just like in the case of Shabbos, he's chayev in Shabbos, so too in the case of ones, he's going to have to pay the knas of ones and he's going to have the mitzvah of Elosi Elisha when he becomes a gadol. And it's not similar to the case of Achos Ishto.
Isn't there a difference between Shabbos and this? Because Shabbos is not. He's still
not
higher for when Shabbos comes in. He's only higher from now.
From now on,
right? He's done the. In this case, he's done the
masa
already.
Right. But what we're saying is that the masa itself is machayvim, but we can't implement it right now. There's a barrier. You know, there's a problem because we can't force a katan to pay knas, or we can't force a katan to be machayim mitzvahs. But the chiyuv is set. As opposed to the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi is talking about a case where the Chiv Onis is not, it doesn't even begin. There was nothing to generate that Chiv. The Bia was with a woman who's not included in the Parsha. And why isn't she included in the Parsha? Because she's Achos Ishto and she's not included in Velosi Elisha. But a Katan has all the requirements of the Chiv. Again, we can't force him to pay. We can't force him to marry her because he's a Katan. In that sense, he's included in the Chiv. And maybe we could apply the same logic to Shabbos, that basically the Katan is included in the Chiyuv Shabbos. Again, he's included in all mitzvahs and all Isurim. Just that we can't implement a Chiyuv because he's a Katan. So this really, Rav Osai, touches on a major issue in all of Shas. What is the status of a Katan in Halacha? Does he have a Maisa Machayev, just he's Potter, or it's not a Maisa at all? In Kinyanim, for example, I would insist that he doesn't even have a Maisa Kinyan. But in Isurim, maybe he has a Maisa Isur. For example, we find the Gemara Yevamos establishes that Bezen Chayov Lafrisho, that if he's eating non-kosher food, we have to stop him. Obviously, therefore, it's a Maisa Vera. Or I gave you the case of Rafram, that for the Maisa of Hezek, he has to pay when he's a Gadol. Or the case of Shivcha Charufa, that he has to bring a carbon for what he did as a Katan. So again, I don't know how far you want to go with this. You could say that Shivcha Charuf is the exception to the rule, rather than the rule. That the Torah says that he has a Maisa Bia, and that's enough for Shivcha Charuf. But otherwise, if you want to extrapolate, you know, if you want to set up Shivcha Charuf not as the exception to the rule, but the rule, then the rule is that the Katan has a Maisa Aveira. If he has a Maisa Chaveira, then his Bia generates all the dinim of Ones, in the parish of Ones, but we cannot implement it. Later on, he becomes a gadol, then he's chayv in the mitzvah. Honestly, just my own footnote, I don't believe that the katan, when he becomes a gadol, is going to have to marry this woman. That's my humble opinion. But I'll just tell you what he says in the name of Rebbe Elchanan.
Is Lo Tihiye Le'Isha considered a punishment?
I mean, it's close to a punishment. Maybe it's not exactly a punishment. Usually a classic punishment means beat the living daylights out of him. But in this case,
and you can never have a retroactive Azhara. If he wasn't capable of receiving an Azhara then he's not in the parsha of having to suffer this penalty.
So let's say Velosi Elisha is a mitzvah. It might also be a punishment, but it's definitely a mitzvah. So what happens to a katan who at the time of the original chiv mitzvah was a katan and now he became a gadol? Should he now have the obligation to fulfill that mitzvah? And that's a fundamental issue. In the case of a woman who's excluded, you could say that the bia doesn't register. But in the case where the bia should be machayev him, just that right now he's a katan, it could be that that mitzvah will be chal when he becomes a gadol. And that's, as I said to you before, that's not a position that's illogical, that undermines the logic of the halacha. We see that the logic of the halacha does take into consideration that a person who is a katan at the original moment of the mitzvah, if that mitzvah is an ongoing mitzvah, he picks up that chiyuv when he becomes a gadol. The exception to the rule is going to be in the case of a chos isho in the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha, because she was excluded from the parasha. But there's no reason to exclude a katan from the parasha. He's in the parasha. His maisa is a maisa bia. He's parted from onshin, let's say. But he did a maisa bia. And therefore the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha should apply to him. Again, I'm not telling you that I think this is the last word, the final word, but I'm just telling you what he presents in the name of Rebbe Elchanan. Now on this he has a very long footnote.
Yeah, I saw that.
It literally is a page long. Mm-hmm. And that's very unusual. If you notice, his footnotes are short, he just tells you where to look it up, and that's it. So I'm going to try to come back to this footnote a little bit later on, maybe tomorrow, the day after. But what I'd really want to go on to is the next suffix, which is number 3. Hecha, this is Tovshin Lamed Vav, Hecha divishas bia chalav achiyuv uliacharmika nasta eina re'uya. This is the exact reverse of what we've discussed. What happens if after the bia she marries someone which makes her into an erva on the ma'anis? Now again, if she became an erva, obviously there's no way he could be mekayim the mitzvah of lo si le'isha. But later on, the situation might arise where the erva is removed. So imagine the following scenario: mm-hmm. Reuven is ma'anes Leah, correct? Mm-hmm. Then he marries Rachel, her sister. And then Rachel dies. So we have 3 critical moments. We have, I call it T1, T2, and T3. At time T1, the time of the ones, there was a mitzvah of Lo Si Le'isha. At time T2, once he marries her sister, he makes it impossible for him to mekayim the mitzvah. At time T3, his wife dies, and now he should be chayv to marry his sister-in-law, who he was ma'anis. Why? Because we go back to time T1, and now she's re'uya.
How can he marry his sister, her sister? He has an obligation to marry her.
What you mean, why was the Rav Masada Kiddushin? That's what you're asking?
Right.
Maybe he didn't know that she was ma'anis. You know, I don't want to...
It goes to the shuk.
I don't want to cast a dispersion on the Rav Masada Kiddushin. Let's say he got 2 Eidim together and he's Makadish without a Rav Masada Kiddushin. So the Kiddushin is Chal, right? The Kiddushin is Chal. The fact that Velosi Elisha has a mitzvah to marry her sister doesn't undermine the Kiddushin. And at that point, she becomes excluded on the Velosi Elisha because she's Achos Ishto. Now his wife dies. Let's look at the two tzadim of the suffering. We're going to turn now to Tov Ein Ches. Im Hodar Chalolov HaChiyuv. Shall we apply the principle of Dichui B'mitzvahs and say that since at one moment in time she was excluded, or should we say no? Forget about Dichui B'mitzvahs. There is no Dichui B'mitzvahs. Now, if you remember the Turi Evans halacha, his principle was that in a mitzvah that's an ongoing chiyuv, there's no dichui b'mitzvahs. So this is really gishmak. We're going to now go back to the original situation, even though normally we'd say dichui b'mitzvahs. Why? Because it's an ongoing chiyuv. So, for example, in the case of a katan at the entry of Shabbos, we would say dichui, but we could say no. According to Turi Evans' logic, there's an ongoing chiyuv, hence there is no dichui b'mitzvahs. Now we get to suffix number 4. Yosef, I see you're shuffling around your pages. You don't have Tov Ein Ches? Do we have a copy?
I have it on the paper.
If you wait a minute, wait before you. What about Tov Ein Ches? We definitely photocopy Tov Ein Ches.
Yeah.
You have that?
Yeah.
Yosef, you don't have Tov Ein Ches?
Is that here?
I didn't do this today.
Ah,
I didn't
know
it had been done in the past.
Yeah, maybe it's in the.
Look over here.
Maybe it's in the archives. In the meantime, John, if you don't mind photocopying, because I don't know, I haven't had much luck with the archives. All right. So I'm just going to read this to myself. And then we'll try to explain it. Nises li odom acher v'yakach nisgarsha nisalmala ima ones chayv lachzar ulekonsa. Okay, I don't know why this should be different than the previous case. Again, she was a pnuya at the time of the ones. Now she gets married. And now her husband divorces her. So l'chor, it's the same identical minchas chinuch that we saw before. Do we apply the principle of dihui from the moment that she got married to someone else? I don't see this honestly as a separate category, except here you have another svara that once she marries someone else, basically she's being mochel on her rights to force him to marry her. Umiu yesh makom l'safik zerak im neima d'li'achar shenosa achosa nidcheis ha'esei d'velosio l'isha kol zman she'enu re'uyo lo.
At the time,
you found something?
Tough, I am fast.
Oh, excellent. We should catch John before he makes all these copies here. All right. Yeah. No. What were you going to say before?
She is obliged to marry him.
Not really. She has the right to force him to marry her. She's been victimized.
Then she married somebody else.
She went and married someone else. So there are two dimensions to this issue. One dimension we've already discussed earlier, in the case where he married her sister after the onus.
Well, that's not like a regular case. So somebody gets divorced and marries somebody else. They can't remarry the first
time. Right. But he was never married to her. Right. So if he was never married to her, he would have to marry her now if her husband dies or divorces her. The only problem is that at the time of the bia, I'm sorry, at the time that she got married to someone else, she was already nidches. In other words, the mitzvah of velos hilish became impossible. So then we go through the whole discussion with the Turi Evan. Do we apply dichui b'mitzvahs in the case of a lo sili isha? However, there's a whole other dimension to this question, and that is once she marries someone else, she has forfeited her rights for a lo sili isha, because that's called mechila. She has a schus to force him to marry her, but she waived that schus when she married someone else. She decided, this is the guy I want to marry, not you. Which I don't blame her for that. Yeah. However, he says that yesh makom l'safek zeh rak inema d'liachar shenosa achosa nidcheis ha'esei d'velosi l'isha kol zman she'ena re'uyo lo if we're going to apply the principle of dichui, let's say when he marries her sister, then we're going to apply the principle of dichui. Means even when his wife dies, he's not chayev in the midst of a lo seal isha because of dichui. Here too, the very moment that she marries someone else, there's a dichui. Aval I nema de acher shechola esse sulo poka. If we go to the logic of the Turi Evan, that it's an ongoing mitzvah, then here in this case, unless you apply the principle of mechila, then there would be a mitzvah v'lo seal isha. There's no dichui. Fine. Now he has the Radbaz. Do you see that on the right, bottom paragraph on the right, on page Tav Ayin Ches? Yeah, Tav Ayin Ches. V'hinei haradbaz nishal mishonas ish v'achkach osur hana'osa olav. The man took upon himself a neder of konam hana'os tashmishech olai. Are you familiar with that? He took upon himself a neder that he won't have any pleasure from her. So now we have a situation where on the one hand he's obligated in the midst of a lo seal ish, on the other hand that clashes with a neder which he self-imposed. Now we have a principle called Ein Nishban al HaMitzvahs, that a shvuah can't be chal on a mitzvah. But a neder is different than a shvuah. So for example, if a man takes a shvuah that he won't sit in the sukkah on Yom Tov, that's batal mevutal, the shvuah doesn't even take effect. But if on the other hand he says, this sukkah is asur alai bin neder, then he's not allowed to sit in that sukkah. Now here's a case where a man took a neder that he wouldn't have enough from this woman. So on the one hand we have a mitzvah v'lo seal ish, he has to marry her. But on the other hand we have a neder that he won't benefit from this woman. He won't have any enough from this woman. So l'chor we would say that here it's not an issue of ein nishban al mitzvah, but rather nedarim chalim al dvar mitzvah. So now that she becomes a chetzin disura via the neder, he cannot fulfill his mitzvah because it's a chetzin disura. Let me go through the Radbaz inside. He says, "Im chal nedeli osel afkia mitzvah selosili shveheshiv delav kol kmine." Meaning he does not have the authority to create such a neder. The bishle mikshahoisa olav be isra say lifnei ha'ones. In the case of, let's say, bu'ulo l'kohen gadol, hasam kadam ha'isur v'lo asi esei d'lo silish v'dochi esei. Since at the time of the onus she was asura olav, the mitzvah v'lo silish cannot trump that isur. In this case, an isur esei. But im chalolav t'chila esei, Velos essay de los Elisha, now he wants to be mafkia himself from that essay by taking upon himself a neder. That's called lav kol kmina. A person cannot remove a chiyuv through a neder. The neder is totally invalid. I don't get it. Maishna mehod amrina b'nedarim shenedarim chalam al dvar mitzvah kidvar rishus. So let's say he says this sukkah is asur olai, or this matzah is asur olai, then the neder is chal. And if he violates that neder by eating the matzah or sitting in that sukkah, he will be chayv malchus. So this is the Radbaz kasha on himself. And we're about to see a breakthrough of the Radbaz. You follow what's going on here? The Radbaz has a problem. He's saying that what a chutzpin yak. He has a mitzvah marrying this woman, so he takes upon himself a neder that he won't have hanor from it. He doesn't have the authority to do so. But wait a second. A man has a sukkah, and the Torah commands him to sit in that sukkah. He takes a neder, and he's not allowed to sit in the sukkah. If he goes in and sits in that sukkah to be mekayim in the midst of sukkah, he gets malchus for that. He violates all yachal dvar over neder.
It's not. It's in a different sukkah.
Okay, fine, he can sit in a different sukkah, okay. Okay, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that the even if he would take a neder that kol asuka shebaolam asur alai, he would still be obligated to observe his neder. He would still be, what's the word I'm looking for? Committed to the neder. I don't know, I'm looking for a better word. But in any event, the neder would certainly generate an isur, even if it meant that he would have no possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah. Why? Because the neder is chal on the cheftza. Once the neder, and there's no mitzvah on this cheftza. So now, once the neder is tofes on this cheftza, if he uses that sukkah and he benefits from it, he gets malchus for violating his neder. Therefore, the question, right? So you might ask, but he's such a chutzpin yak. The man decided that he's going to remove himself from the midst of sukkah. God commands him to sit in sukkah. I come first. Why? Because I took a neder. The answer is, once the neder is kal nechefetz, that's it. There's no mitzvah. Adarab, he's going to get malchus for violating it. Same thing should apply here. The man took a neder that he won't have any benefit from this woman. At that moment in time, the neder is chal on this woman, that she's asura ola bekonam hanos tashmishei alai, and therefore the mitzvah velosi elisha has to be suspended, because if he violates that velosi elisha, he'll get malchus for the neder.
But even in the case of the sukkah, for instance, where he says, I can't only benefit from all sukkahs,
right,
this is somewhat against the mitzvah. So, as you say, on the cheftza.
Here also, it's not against the mitzvah. I can have a mitzvah marrying this woman, but she's a cheftza disura. She's the Surah Anah for me through my nether. So here the Radbaz wants to make a chiluk between two categories of mitzvahs. There's Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachaver. Pili Plum, says the Radbaz, that in the case of nether chal mitzvah, that's only because the mitzvah is Bein Adam Lamakom, like Sukkah. Alright, let's read it inside. Halokasha Klal, second line on the left column. The Hanukh, when do we say that the neder is chal? That's b'mitzvah shebein adam l'makom. Avol b'dvarim shebein adam l'chaveru lo chal. In other words, you can't create a neder that's a binding neder according to halacha in the mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveru. Haga atzmecha yechayv l'chaveru mona. I owe you $100. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take a neder. And I'm going to say that I won't get any benefit from you. Ploni mudr min nechasai. Okay, this is a little bit different. This is called mudr anah, meaning I can take all my nechasim and say that I can impose a neder on you that you won't have any benefit from any of my nechasim. This is a great way of pottering you up from $1 million obligation, right? I'm just saying, hanas nechasai alecha. You're mudr anah min nechasai. Brilliant question of the Radbaz. You see, with the halachic principles here, if you apply them, you know, without caution, you come to the most ludicrous conclusion that there's no such thing as being chayiv money to anybody, because I could always just take a neder and mudr anah. The answer is that we don't apply this principle of neder to a mitzvah bein adam lechaveru. I have an obligation to you. In Tomar Hot Na Na Madir Es Isha Es Ishto Yotzi V'Yiten Ksuba Ramai Kevin De Meshubala Lema De Lo Yochel An Neder. Now the Radbaz is in deep trouble, because there's a Mishnah that says that you have to divorce your wife as a result of this Neder. Well, you're being mafki yourself from a mitzvah Ben Odom L'chavera. I mean, Sher Ksus V'Onosa. This is not Ben Odom L'moko. Lo kasha, the hasam efshal yidei gerushin, the isha di alma misgareshes bal karcha. The Torah already allowed you to get out of your obligations vis-a-vis your wife, in one of two ways, even by divorcing her, or, yeah, okay, efshal yidei gerushin. Oh, I'm sorry. How can you wiggle out? The Torah already gave you in your hands, you know, the ammunition. You're already supplied, you know, with the ammunition to undermine these monetary obligations that you have to your wife, because you can simply give her a get. You'll tell me, well, you can't give her a get unless she agrees. We're before Rabbeinu Gershon, so it means on a derisive level, he can just throw the get into her lap, and that's it. Aval hocha mischayev lekonsa v'shuv eni yochel lahotzia. He cannot divorce her unless she agrees. Hilkach lo chala isu lafkia zchuso. Wow, this is pretty heavy. You know, this Radbaz, I have a suspicion, is going to have implications in many, many different areas. And all, you know, you take the whole sugya of Nidorim, that Nidorim achalim al dvar mitzvah, and you're going to tell me that's only in a mitzvah bein Adam l'mokum, and not in a mitzvah bein Adam l'chavera. Ubir dvar v'yesh l'dun kan, mishnei tzadim, ima nedim afkia ha'esei d'lo silish l'gamri, the next shavi isa shedabri lo, v'afim neima de'enim afkia ha'esei, mikom kom Nidorim achalim al dvar mitzvah, v'osu lo lisa osa. So on the one hand, you want to know whether the neder is powerful enough to remove the essay of Velosia Leisha. And even if I tell you that it cannot be mafkia the essay, but what about the principle of neder chal dvar mitzvah? So he's not allowed to marry her. So even if I grant you that she still remains an Isha Re'uyalo, despite his neder, and he has a mitzvah lo silish, but he cannot possibly fulfill that mitzvah lo silish because of the chalsa neder. Letzad rishon ein zu taina lomer the kevin the mishuba lo lo chala neder. Sharei liachar shenadar poka ha'esei v'su ein mishuba lo. Al ze kosav arvaz, the kevin the gvar chala ha'esei b'tchila, ein ha'isa shechal achakach yechol lafkia. What about the principle of Nidorim Chalim al Dvar Mitzvah? On this, he gives the answer, the Meshubat law. That's, it's a Bein Adam L'Chavero, and he has a Shibuta. And therefore, even after the Neder, the Eina Neder Chal Klal, is therefore, the Radbaz comes to the conclusion that in such a case he has to pay Knas. So there are really two Chidushim here in the Radbaz. The first Chidush is that Radbaz is saying that li'achar sheneder poka, in other words, once the neder is chal, then the essay should be poka. So on that, the Radbaz answers bein adam l'chaver. Just one second, let me get the logic one more time. Came into mishubad lines. Oh, there's one chiddush of the Radbaz that you would say that once the neder is chal, then we apply like the principle of dichui and she's excluded from the mitzvah, and that's it. That's the end of the story. On that, he says no, because the neder was taken subsequent to the chiyuv. At the time that he was ma'anisar, there was no neder, and therefore the neder is only going to be a temporary blockage. It doesn't remove the chiyuv itself. But now we have another problem. Well, how can he be mekayim this mitzvah lo silisha when he's enjoined from having any relationship with her because of the neder? And here he says, no, that neder is not authority. There's no authority here in this case to take that neder and make it into a valid neder, because it's going to be a neder beinon lechavero to remove his mitzvah, and that he can't do in a beinon lechavero. Okay, so that leads us to page Tuf Ayin Tes, which I'd like to leave for tomorrow. If you can make a note of it, I would appreciate that. And at this point, we want to go back to page Kuf Tes. Does everybody have page Kuf Tes? This Kuf Tes, if you can find it, yes, that takes us back to Ika Beinayu on the right side, Ba'ula Lekoin Gadol. Okay then? Fine. Just one second, let me just get myself oriented here. Okay. Now, again, the Gemara says that the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon HaBen Manasseh is going to be the case of Bu'ula L'Kohen Gadol. And the reason for that is that Kiddushin HaTovsin B'Bu'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Therefore, from Rav Shimon HaBen Manasseh perspective, she is an Isha sheyesh ba havaya. This tfisus kedushin. But from the perspective of Shimon HaTivni, she's excluded on the, in, from Velosi Elisha under the fact that she that it's an Iser Lekaim. Okay. Now, we came to the conclusion that if she was a Besula at the time of the Bia, then Rashi, from his perspective, says that she would definitely be included in Velosi Elisha, according to everybody. And the reason for that is that at the time of the Be'ila, she was Muteris Lo. And even if after the Be'ila she's Asura Lo, because this was a Be'ila outside the framework of Ishus, therefore, there could not be a ptur, so to speak, of this parish of Ones and the Chiv Knas that is chal subsequent to the Maisa Machayev. It's a little bit similar to what we've discussed earlier, that if the Shas Chovoso is at the time of the Be'ila, so Rashi has a problem. Again, Rabbeinu Fanadol is not going to have a problem, but Rashi has a problem if she was a Besula at the time that the Kohen was Ma'anisa, the Kohen Gadol was Ma'anisa, because at that moment in time, you fix the chiyuv, you know, it's engraved in stone, and as a chiyuv, you can't do something subsequent and create a new Iser and then say, well, the mitzvah doesn't apply, or at least the knas doesn't have to be paid. So Rashi in this case has to come up with a, you know, acrobatics in the sky where this woman was married to someone. She never had a regular be'ila with that person, but it was a be'ila shelo kedarka. And as far as Kohen Gadol is concerned, a be'ila shelo kedarka, right, is already enough to be mafkia her status as a besula. Hence, the Eino Ru'i Lekaimo kicks in here, because he's now having a relationship with a Ba'ula. On the other hand, she's still a Basula as far as Knas is concerned. So if I hold like Rav Shimon HaTeimani, that you need an Isha Ru'i Lekaimo, then she's excluded from Knas. Right? But if you hold like Rav Shimon Ben Menasya, this Tfisas Kedushin, because it's Eino Shava Lekol, as we discussed, and therefore he pays Knas. So this you'll see on page Kuf Tes. And it's very sharp now in the light of everything we discussed. Why does Rashi exclude the case of a Besula? Because on the top left he says, Lo Pasle Behod Mishalim Kna in Kane Huadin Rav Shimon Ben Asya. Chiyuv knas tolui im hi ru'uya l'kaima b'shas ha'ones, and since at the time of the ones she's a besula, again that's not Rashi's case, but that's going to be Rabbeinu Hananel's case, then you cannot say that after the be'ila she becomes he becomes exempt from the knas. Why? Because the knas is already fixed at the time of the be'ila. She was a besula. So in li'achar mikan, on the third line, this you should underline if it's not already underlined. In li'achar mikan nischadsha siba. You see that? She'ena ru'i l'kayim alo mifta miknas. And therefore Rashi cannot tolerate the pirush of Rabbeinu Chananel in Tosis that she became a bu'ula as a result of the Kohen Gadol's onus. Because if that be the case, there's no reason to exempt him from knas, because at the time of the onus, she was a Basula Gemura. She was Isha Ru'i L'kaima. We don't care what happens after the Be'ila. Everything depends upon what happens at the moment. What's our status at the time of the Be'ila? Now, in the paragraph that starts V'yesh Litlos, he has a whole analysis here about the Machlok Shin Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Now we have another problem. And this is on page Kuf Yud. This is the issue that's raised by what's called the Shita Yeshana, which is like the Shita Mekubetzes. And the problem is Chalos. What does that mean? Just 1 second. Let's go over the two shitas again. According to Rashi, she's already a ba'ula from the perspective of the first husband, Be'ila Shalo, Shalo Kedarka. Correct? Be'ila Shalo Kedarka. That makes her into a ba'ula as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned. If that be the case, so what's Rashi saying? Well, Rashi is saying that in such a case, it's Eneru Lekaima, but it's not less Behavai, right? Because it's only an Iser Esse. Yeah, but now we have a problem, because if there's an Iser for the Kohen to marry this Kohen Gadol because of the Iser Asse of Hu Psula B'Yama Yikach, then with that beer, she becomes a Chalola. Because any violation of an Issa Kahuna makes her into a Chalola. So if that be the case, Chalolas is already a Lav. And a Lav means that there's no Tfisus Kedushin. Because again, we're going according to Rabbi Yeshayvev, if you remember. So how can the Gemara say that if you hold like Rav Shimon ben Menasya, right? If you hold like, I'm sorry, like Shimon HaTimni, my mistake, that it all depends upon Yesh Ba'Avaya or Ein Ba'Avaya. So this woman is a woman She'ein Ba'Avaya. Why? Because since, as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, she's a Ba'ula, then when the Kohen Gadol has a relationship with her, he violates an Issa Kahuna, which generates Chalolos. Now, if that generates Chalolos, which means two things. Number one, that she herself becomes a Chalola, and number two, her children become Chalola. But let's focus on she herself. If she becomes this Chalola, then we have a Lav, if the Kohen Gadol has a relationship with this woman, and that's a Lotas in the Torah. So Mimela becomes Isha, the less Ba'avaya, because now we've upgraded it from the Isra essay of Ba'ula to the Isra Lav of Chalola. So the answer is that this is no problem according to Rashi, because again, Rashi in rejecting Tosfos Rabbeinu Chananel is saying it all depends upon the moment of Bia. She only becomes a Chalola after the Bia. Right? And that's why Rashi couldn't accept Tosfos Pshat that she was a Basula at the time of the Be'ilah, because then the Iser was Chal after the Be'ilah, the Chiyuv of Knas is Chal at the moment of the Be'ilah. But according to Rabbeinu Chananel, who holds that even if the Iser is Chal after the Bia, we still exclude this woman from Knas. So then now we have a real serious problem, because the Gemara is saying that according to Shimon HaTimni, Yesh Ba'Havaya, because there's only a violation of an Iser essay. Well, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, we have a Lav as well. Why? Because she became a Chalola. And Chalolo Yikach, the Torah says. So it violates a Lav, and therefore it becomes less Ba'Havaya. That's the question that he asks here on Kuf Yud. So let's see if we can find it here. Where is it? Can anybody help me find it? I wrote a note to myself that it's on Kuf Yud. Now I'm not. Maybe it's at the end. No. Oh. I get a little frustrated when I can't find the paragraph I wanted to show you. Fine, that's ain't real kind. But what about Les Behavaya? Because she became a Chalola. She becomes a chalol. Where is it? No. Well, that's already, I think, the answer. It should be before that somewhere. If you can find the word chalol here. Where is this?
Right at the top, three lines down.
Oh, three lines down. Oh, v'huk shalo kushas ashita yishon asher nischalo v'biyoso v'ikonami lav dechalolo v'su lesbe havaya. It's good. I don't know why I couldn't find it. So this is very good. I mean, in a sense, it's very bad because we're going to have problems with Rabbeinu Chanan, but I'm saying it's very good for Rashi. So if you take a look, the Pirush Rabbeinu Chanan, the Sugyan Meiri on number Ein Zion. Bekoen Godol Sha'onas Besula Gemura, and she's Eina Ruya L'Kaima. So now the question is, what about Chalolus? Just one second. Still not 100% there. Still not there 100%. Second. Ayin Zion. What about Chalolus? Where is this thing? Amai Begula Kohen Godi Yesh Lo Knas Nirab Shimon Atimni Ayin Bavaydin Schalo Bibi Yosu Nases Chalotis came to Vishasa Ones. At time of the Ones, she was not yet a chalola, and therefore there was havaya. Therefore, yesh la knas, even though after he finishes his act, his be'ila, then she becomes a chalola. Ulam yesh li ashiv kushizu de Rashi svirale karamba. One second. This kash is on Rabbeinu Chananel, not on Rashi. Just 1 second. Hiksha shita mugubetzes shita yishona b'das Rashi amai b'ba'ula b'koin godol yesh lo knas l'rab shimon atimni ha'ein b'avaya din eschala b'biyoso v'nas eschalola b'tireis l'keima d'v'shas ha'ones adayin lo neschala b'hoi b'avaya is yesh lo knas alfa b'shali achim gmar b'ya ein lo havaya. Ulam yesh li yashev kushizu. Oh, I think what he's saying is he wants to offer another possibility. That's what I think. He's offering an alternative possibility. I'm not sure why he needs an alternative possibility. This seems like an excellent answer to the question. Oh, so he's saying the following. That what? That Rashi Svirle Kar Rambam, the Kohen Gadol Shebal Be'ula Shelo L'Shem Nisuin Lo Chilula. Ah, in other words, the Shita Yishana assumes that since she now becomes a Be'ula Kohen Gadol, which generates an Iser of the essay of who, etc., etc., Bola Yikach, is Memela Nischala. No, the Rambam holds that a Kohen Gadol Shebal Be'ula below Nisuin, lo chilula. Lo chilula. So therefore the kasha, the shita yishon, is not even a kasha. We don't have to say that Rashi is not concerned with what happens after the bi'ula. No, we don't have to introduce that. We could say that Rashi is not concerned with chalol because there is no chalol. It's like the Rambam shita, kohen gadol shebal be'ula shelo b'nisuin, lo chilula. And the raya for the Rambam is Gemara in Yevama Samach Aleph Amid Beis. Where is that? V'raya dasam Rambam de'eno. Where is this Gemara?
So I'm following the page, right here. Second paragraph on Kufiyut.
Excellent. Tanya, Rabbi Lozer, Mekoin lo yisa saktana. The ukma, Rabbi Lozer, barava, demayri, Mekoin godol. The emas, konile, lichi godla. Ah, so if he marries her when she's a ktana, then his kinyan will be chal when she's a gedola. And then she's already a bu'ula. Mashma deleka kpeda el bazesh makayim osa mishagodla. The konila minatora. Vidim tzakone sabasula. Vahinu esabula vahinu bu'ula s'atzma. Vol b'mashem makayim osa bi'oda yiktana. That's not a problem. Why? Afal pishal yachar birishona bu'ula hi. V'rayel adasaram deino over al bias beula below kiddushin.
Eino over on
the eino muzar aleha. Right? Why? Because nafgi leacher birishona beula hi. Right? That's when the over al bias beula below kiddushin. So there's no issues minatora. Mikomakom eino muzar leo yoser mishar kol odom. Udas hashidishan di over bebia greda. Ah, this is. Alright, so we really have to know the Sugya Nivomas for this. Let me just skip to Ayin Zayin for a moment. Will appear as Rabbeinu Chananel, Sugya Mairi Bekoin Godol Sha'onas Besula Gemura. We call next Sheva Sein Ruya Lekaima. Mishum She'isur Torahu Lisa Ve'ulas Atzma. Ukiktoni Bebraisa Be'yavomas Nuntes Amid Beis. Anusas atzma futas atzma lo yisa v'imnasa nasui v'yafa gav dimnasa nasui kem l'chadchi lo yisa lo is lo chashiva ru'uya l'kaima. So this is interesting. He's saying that whenever there's an isa nesuin, that's called ena ru'uya l'kaima, even though b'di'evet, if he married her, he would not force a divorce. So now we have the case of Kohen Gadol Sha'onas Besula, Kohen Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Gemara says she's not Ru'uya L'kaima, and that's because of Bu'ulas Atzma. But the Gemara Yevamos says that L'chatchila a Kohen Gadol should not marry Anusas Atzma. However, it's not such a Chomerdika Isur, and therefore B'di'evet, if he went and he married her, is that's okay. Nasui. Kevin l'chadchil lo yisa lo chashiv ru'uya l'kaima.
So what do you do? You know, ru'uya l'kaima. You can't stay. What do you mean? He's not. He mavar ben asalat nasui, but you know, ru'uya l'kaima, he has to. He can't be married to her.
No, so we're saying something else, that if I understand correctly, Eino Ru'uya L'kaima means because he wasn't allowed to marry her. In other words, we're going to define this woman as someone that he's not allowed to marry.
So why don't we say Lo Yisa Bim Nasa Nasui?
In other words, we're not going to force him to give a get, but he's not allowed to marry her.
And if he does marry her, he's married.
Right.
Even though Lo Ru'uya L'kaima.
Again, lo ru'uya l'kaima means we go back to the Shas Bia and we say that since as a result of Bulas Atzma he's not allowed to marry this woman, that's called Eino Ru'uya L'kaima. If he went and he married her though, then b'di'evet we recognize the marriage. And we're not going to force him to give her a divorce.
Okay.
That's what it seems like. But let's go ahead to the next paragraph, because now he quotes Rav Huna in Yevamos on that same daf. He says that Tzarech lo tziya beget. Tzarech lo tziya beget. But what does it mean? It says in Nasa Nasui.
This is the opposite.
So he's saying Nasa Nasui only means that Eino Mishalim Knas b'mefuta Shemafata Eino Mishalim Knas Ela Kishe Eino Komsa Bahani Lein Isuin Eilu Miftere Miknasa. So again, on the one hand, we're going to force him to divorce her, but on the other hand,
he's not
chayiv. He's not chayiv the knas. Why? Because a hani lein is suin elu mifter be knasa. What does that mean? In nasa nasui. Why? Shavafata eno mishalim knas el ksha eno konsa.
But he married her.
Right, he married her, therefore he's part of from Knas.
Yeah, but he has to divorce.
Oh, Moshe Rav Ashi, Mehod the Rav, Rav Yochanan, Mitzvay, Bogeres, and Lucas 8, Lo Yisa, Vim Nasa Nasui. Alma, Rinon, Sofalios, Bogeres, Taktov, Sofalios, Lucas 8, Taktov. So we're going to say him nasa nasui against Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna said nasa nas that chayv lo tziya beget in the case of anusas atzmo or mafutas atzmo. Now the Gemara is making an equation to the case of Bogeris and Lucas 8. In these two cases, we're going to say him nasa nasui, and we're not going to force him to divorce her. Why? Because so far Leos Mukas Eitz Tachto. So here also, so far Leos Bu'ula Tachto. We should say the same thing, that him Nasa Nasui, and therefore he doesn't have to divorce his wife. So let's make a note that we got up to the paragraph Umatsinu, and hopefully we'll be able to finish this tomorrow. So what's today? Today is Sunday?
Sunday.
Okay, so for Monday, we're going to try to pick it up on page Kuf Yud, right? Okay, that's good.